everyone. Welcome to week four of the Are You The One Rehappa podcast. My name is Allie Lasher, and with me is my co-host who needs no overnight relationship rehab, Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's going on?
Nothing much. I'm actually really excited to talk about this episode.
I love when the exes come, and this was like the ex episode on steroids.
Yes. Oh, I think this is my favorite episode maybe ever.
Ooh. Why is that, like, generally?
Oh, I just think because the exes were super messy and, like, you know, they were in there to, like, what they definitely served their purpose. And, like, I just kind of wanted them to move into the house by the end of it because they were so insane. So I think it was just how messy they were.
Let's speculate, and we could definitely find this out from someone, but I'm curious when they say, like, some of your exes are coming, some of them aren't, do they screen them, or was it just, like, who was willing to come to Hawaii for their ex?
I'm sure they screen them, and I think they also, like, in the interview process and the casting process before the show, probably talk to them in detail about each ex so they know who's a little bit off their rocker, who could cause issues. At the same time, I'm sure they don't want to pay for, what, 22 flights to Hawaii for all their exes. So I think they definitely screen them and pick who's going to stir up the pot. And I'm sure there could have even been people who came and that we're never just going to see because they just added nothing to the episode.
Yeah, do you know if next week are we getting, like, more with the exes, or was this the last episode?
Based on the preview, it seems like they were going to, like, finish the, like, retreat, right? And then, but I don't know if that means any more exes are coming. You would think if there was, like, a really drama-filled ex, they would have previewed that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll get the resolution of the overnight, and then that will be it. Kind of a bummer, though. I feel like, yes, in reality, you don't want your ex to show up. But in the reality that is, you're trying to make good TV and move to the challenge or get your clothing line established, you're like, you're getting no camera time if your ex or your boo's ex doesn't show up.
Yeah, Mo's ex was not in the even thinking about showing up, and he once again did not get a line. I don't think, just throwing that out there, like a confessional.
Yeah, Tomas also is pretty purple, with the exception of his tackle today, this episode.
Yeah, which was an impressive tackle. We'll just add that.
All right, so the episode first starts out in the villa, but all I'm doing is watching Love Island. I'm not the house. And Nuts is calling a house meeting. Everyone's done celebrating over Three Beams. The first few weeks, Three Beams was great. Now we're kind of stuck there.
Yeah, and Quasi kind of, like, led this, like, pep talk, right? Like, he was kind of in control, or at least he was standing, and that made me believe he was in control.
Yeah, Quasi is definitely becoming the person who's going to go in on the no-match couples. I mean, I know they're not no-match yet, but only two of the long-standing week one couples are going to be a beam, if that. I mean, it could be totally random. Mm. And so he's definitely leading the charge, which makes sense. It's usually a guy who's sort of, like, getting along with everyone, but maybe not getting a lot of the female attention. Shocks me is, like, Nutza is, like, calling everyone out. But as they called out and as we've talked about, she's just deading everyone. So what does she have to complain about?
I think just TV time. When you complain, I feel like you're going to be on camera, and I feel like she knows that. So, like, that's just the vibe I got right away, is that, okay, like, she's complaining, but she really has nothing to complain about because it's kind of her fault. So I just think she was like, if I yell loud enough, somebody will put a camera on me.
I mean, do you think it's who's right here? I mean, the answer could be no one, I guess. But is it that the guys have not tried to get to know Nutza, as Nutza claims, or is it that she's too standoffish and tells everyone she's not interested?
I'm not, because we don't know the whole story, so I'm not saying she's definitely wrong, but, like, if eight people say a wall is blue and the one person says it's green, it's probably blue. So I do believe that if they're all saying, well, like, you're not getting to know us, or you're just kind of, like, counting us all out from the get, I do think that she's probably doing that, but you never know. I don't know if they're all having, like, this conspiracy where they're all kind of getting together and say, let's all lie about Nutza. So I just don't think that's happening.
Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. I think it's also possible that the guys Nutza's into are not into her. Like, true. I know she went for Zach. So when Andrew is like, I tried to get to know you and told me I was ugly, she's like, well, I'm not talking about you. No one's getting to know me. Like, you're not anyone. No one's getting to know me.
Poor Andrew.
Yeah, poor Andrew, indeed. Another surprise from the house meeting is Kenya suggesting that everyone start from scratch, including her and longstanding boo, Tevin.
And she really like took that to heart. She started over with a guy that wasn't even in the house. So good for her for really like going off what she said. Also, did you notice her voice cracking? I haven't noticed that till this episode where it just kept cracking and cracking. I thought it was like because she was yelling a lot, like maybe like at the matchup ceremony or whatever. But it seemed like her voice cracked a lot more than normal this episode. And I like really, I noticed that throughout the whole episode.
I mean, I know what you're talking about. I think as somebody with a similarly fragile voice as Kenya, probably like I'm in a house for a week drinking and yelling, like I'm going to sound worse than that. So true. It's probably just overuse.
True. And then she also said period point blank again. I want to throw that out there.
I did hear that. So I guess that's not a one-off thing. And no. I still like point blank period.
Yeah, me too. I think the original is always the best.
That's how Kenya feels too, apparently.
I was just about to be like, I definitely set you up for that, but that's why we're such a solid team, because you picked up on my softball pitch.
Do you think there's a chance that Kenya and Tevin could actually start from scratch? I mean, barring what we saw in this episode, like just in this moment, did you believe her or was this just lip service?
I think she believed herself when she said it. But like, we don't know if she was. Is it Darrell or Daryl? I'm still Darryl. In challenge mode a bit. Okay, Daryl. So I kept calling him Darrell. So we don't know if she topped off Daryl. Like, we don't know what happened throughout their whole little stay together. But I think even before the whole Daryl situation, I think she wanted to believe she was going to start fresh. And I think he wanted to believe that. But I don't think that was ever going to happen.
I used topped off on the challenge podcast yesterday when we recorded too. It was pretty
funny.
That's
impressive. Could I ask in what context? Like, I'm so curious.
I was reading tweets and Marie used a different, more vulgar, if you will, expression. And so I converted it to topped off.
That doesn't sound like Marie at all, but okay.
I do think this idea that they start from scratch, whether or not it's worth its weight, that she's even saying this, I feel like it's a recipe for a blackout. Like, I think it's a massive overcorrection to say, okay, we've only gotten two beams consistently because they know one of the perfect match couples. So let's just pretend like we've never met again.
Yeah, that's silly. It's just, it's tough to do, right? Like, and then I feel like as you watch the episode, it doesn't seem like many people are really starting from scratch. It seems like they're going exactly like right back to where they were.
Right. I mean, Kenya, who knows? But this is also super minutia, like diving into the minutia here. But I feel like we tend to do that here. Did you notice Daniel makes a toast? Daniel, the smooch monster who kisses everyone, suddenly has a concern about germs and doesn't drink out of the bottle of tequila or whatever it is and like hovers it over his mouth as he pours it in.
Saucy ass season 7. So like I didn't notice that, but that honestly doesn't surprise me. It seems like something a person like Daniel would do. So I was more concerned with him calling it saucy ass season 7, and that just kind of cringed me out a bit.
How could you not be surprised? He's kissing everyone. That is the most direct transfer of saliva you can have, and you're not going to sip out of a fresh bottle?
He seems like that type of guy to be like a hypocrite and like be like, oh man, I hate germs, but I'll just make out with everyone and their mother. That just seems like the type of guy Daniel is. He's like, it seems like most of these people would say, like, I'm a very clean person, but like, I'll do everything with anyone in the Are You the One house.
I don't know. I can't keep track of anyone really, but Daniel definitely not. Germs. I don't know.
It is a weird thing. I guess it is very odd for him to go about it that way. But you know what? If he wants to stay clean, maybe he should just quarantine himself to the Boom Boom Room and just let girls come in there and make out with him.
Yeah, I think he'd like that. let's talk briefly about the honeymoon suite. We have Maria and Shamoy. All I could think of is like, they're like, every day is something new. Well, like, of course, when you've known someone for 3 days, every day is going to be something new.
Do these people like, I don't know, it just reminds me of like all of these reality shows where everyone's like, we're falling in love, like we really know each other. And I get they know each other for like longer because they've been locked in a house, but it just seems like, I don't know, I do you think they're gonna make it work outside of the house?
I don't know, because I still feel like what we were talking about last week, that like it's not 100%. Like, I can't decide why it's weird. I can't decide on whose end I think is less interested, but yeah. I'm not sure. I was still feeling that way, but they're going to be in the honeymoon suite for a hell of a long time. And based on the fate button and based on the way the house is going, potentially a really long time alone without any other couples coming in.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have a good time together at the minimal in the honeymoon suite. I feel like that's the least that could happen. And then, you know what? Whatever happens after the show, we don't care about because it's after the show.
I would like to see, I don't think we've seen anything like this. Like, what if a couple, like, broke up in the honeymoon suite? You know, they, like, really hated each other. It was, like, a bad match. Like, if someone wanted to, like, leave or we just go to the honeymoon suite, it's like CT and Veronica in Redemption House, like, trying to make it work, not working, fighting. That would be an interesting twist.
Yeah, we've seen people, like, from the, like, the jump not get along or not have, like, that interest. But I don't think we've ever seen a couple who really liked each other and then, like, progressively started to dislike each other as we went.
Right, and I think we've even seen couples who, like, went in as friends or, like, went in with other relationships in the house, like at Curtis and whatever that blonde person was that was his match.
Yeah, I don't remember.
God. Wow. Anyway, like, you know, I feel like that was a couple where he had a connection in the house, but was still sort of like open to having a connection in the house, in the honeymoon suite. So,
yeah, that'd be fun to watch.
All right. So let's talk about this couple's retreat. Speaking of fun to watch, did you like, I mean, we knew this was coming, but we've never seen something like this before. Do you like the offsite trip for the retreat?
Yes, I don't know what it was about it. Maybe that it was just like looked like they kind of put up some tents and like a table with some drinks or whatever. But it was so kind of chill and it wasn't over the top. And I feel like it wasn't anything crazy that it just focused on the characters and what they were getting themselves into. So I really enjoyed this honeymoon retreat. I don't, or whatever it was called, a couples retreat, whatever. I don't know if this was like in a different place, it would have the same effect. But for some reason, I feel like this just really worked.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they called it a relationship rehab.
That's what it is.
I still do wish, I mean, I think it was great, the exes. I could see, like, I really enjoyed this. I could see, like I said last week, something like a one-time thing where they go away and, like, a couple's therapist is there and, like, talking through all their issues, or, like, two people go on a date and, like, that's the date. Like, I wouldn't mind some, like, actual relationship rehab. But I thought this was an interesting environment for the exes to come and actually spend some time.
Yeah. And so, like, if you think if they had, like, let's say they were doing, like, real relationship rehab, where they all went off kind of one-on-one and did their own thing and, like, had really an opportunity to kind of improve on their relationship, if they were starting from scratch, like, how would they even go about, like, forming these new couples? It just seems like it was a really weird time to start from scratch.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Before we get to the exes, we get a little bit of speculation from the people inside of, like, Lewis is like, and Lewis was so likable and charming this season, and certainly in this episode, where he's just like, I tried to get you to come everywhere, and now you're gonna come to Hawaii when we're exes. Like, that made me laugh out loud, for real.
No, he's so funny, and I feel like he's the comic relief we need every episode with all the drama.
I definitely agree. Here for Lewis. Lewis can stay.
Yes, agreed.
So I think the best way to talk about this is just X by X, because basically we got little moments in the house, but there were no, like, sort of like acts where there's a date, there's a matchup, whatever. This is just sort of like, let's talk about Zach's ex. He's number one. I don't know what her name was. Like, oh, I'm sorry, Emily, because I have a tweet from him.
Yes.
And that's, like, really the big ticket item, because you want to see Bria react to Emily.
Oh, yeah, that was, but I didn't expect her. I don't think anyone could have anticipated her reaction, how it went from literally laughing at the girl because she thought she was not, I guess, not attractive. Like, I guess that's what she was going for. She went to her face, laughed again to her face. I don't even know if the girl even picked up on what she was laughing at, but then she, like, trying to turn it, kind of turn into, like, her best friend and wants to get her a drink. It was just so bizarre. Like, I couldn't even comprehend what was going on the TV screen.
Yeah, it was a strange reaction. First of all, it was horrific when she comes in, she's laughing, she goes up to her face and was like, you're Zach's ex. maybe she's pretty on the inside, like, disgusting. But if you take that part away, Bria's reaction is the exact reaction that you should have if you're into the guy. Because she played it so, so cool. And she tweeted something that was like, of course, I'm going to treat a woman who Zach has told me was really important to her, like, really well. Like, not of course. Like, of course, we've watched you for 3 weeks be a complete psychopath, but now you're going to, like, step up. I don't know. So I liked Bria good Bria. I did not like laughing at her pretty on the inside Bria.
No, that was terrible. And like, it was tough for me to like just focus on good Bria after how mean she was, like, and just kind of like it reminded me just like such a high school thing, like laughing at someone because you don't think they're attractive. I don't know. It was just really messed up. And it made me, no matter what she did after, it kind of tainted her, because I'm like, okay, this girl's just, I know she has issues and she's went through a lot in the show, but like, nobody has to be that mean to someone, especially based on just physical appearance. Like, it was just really wrong.
Zach tweeted, uncool, Emily's beautiful inside and out, regardless of what we did to each other. And one, the reason I pulled this tweet is because I think it does exemplify this is sort of like the turning point for Zach, like where Zach has been a complete a-hole in the house. And this woman came in who broke his heart, who he still loves, and he becomes like a normal person again. It was a very interesting evolution to see.
Yeah, and we saw, like, it was so odd seeing, like, I guess why, because we've called him, like, a lot of different names after the first few episodes. But I think it was kind of good to see, like, why he treats girls in such a way where he was like, okay, I don't want things to go smoothly. I want craziness. And I'm not saying that what happened in his life justifies those actions. But at the same time, it shows that he obviously was heartbroken. He did go through a lot. So at least it shows that things have happened to this guy to lead him to be such a douche. He wasn't just like, I'm a douchebag and gonna treat girls like crap. And doesn't justify it, but at least we kind of see where how he came to be and how he came to be this kind of jerk off.
And it's nice because, like you're saying, like, we get the explanation, and it seems it's really a sad story. Like, he got cheated on. He's clearly still in love with her. And she's sort of like, he's become the male version of Emily. Because Emily's like, look, like, you weren't in love with me. Like, you said, you'd only been with three girls. Like, you said all these things. Like, that couldn't be true. And he's heartbroken. Like, he felt that way. And I don't really understand why having only dated three girls before makes him unable to love her. But, you know, Emily's got to do her own thing. And now it seems like Zach will be able to do his. And I feel like we get a sweet conversation later in the episode as a result between Zach and Morgan.
Yeah, and it seems like Zach might have needed this, like whether I'll call it closure with Emily, and kind of had to get the answers he needed to really start moving on to a new relationship and not just the next girl.
Which then my question is Morgan the right girl for Zach? Like, is it genuine, or is she in the right place at the right time when Zach doesn't want to be a D-bag anymore?
I think it could be a mixture of both. I think he could think she's the right girl. Like, it, just based on the Are You the One track record, I don't think that a lot of these people are right for each other. But maybe it's just good for him to kind of meet someone that he's attracted to and could kind of, and I don't want to say use, because like, that's not a good thing to do, but I think talking to someone new and putting himself out there and genuinely trying whether it works or not could be good for his future. I just hope it doesn't come at the expense of her emotions and feelings, but I think it's good for him to put himself back out there.
So how do you think Zach is going to progress? Do you think this is now the real Zach, the new Zach, or are we going to get a pre-Emily Zach back next week?
We could see, I feel like, a glimpse back into the pre-Emily Zach. I don't know if he's just going to go from douche to great guy or guy who's going to respect the girl he's with right away. But I do think that it's at least going to go in the right direction. I don't know how he could regress from this after getting answers and kind of being vulnerable on TV and kind of showing his how he got to that point. I like to think that we're going to see a good Zach, but you never know.
We will see. Thing's for sure, we are not seeing a new Bria, because Bria watches Zach and Morgan kiss, freaks out, and is planning her revenge.
It was in the preview where we saw her go up to her and say, like, you do not threaten me, like, I'm not afraid of you at all, like, I'm better than you kind of thing.
It was definitely not in the episode proper.
Okay, so yeah, so we'll, I don't think this is the last we're going to see of this situation, and I'm excited, as long as Bria doesn't call random girls ugly anymore, I'm excited to see her lose her shit.
I will say, though, that I'm a little bit team Bria in this instance, because I don't think she's freaking out about Zach kissing someone else. Seems more like Morgan is pulling another nutsa situation. Like, Morgan is absolutely so freaking shady, and I absolutely believe it. Bria tweeted, and I'll pull it up later at the end of the show, that basically Morgan and said this to her, but like Morgan did exactly what she did to Nutso, which is like, I have no interest in Zach. I have no interest in Zach. Oh my God, I'm talking about you to him. And then goes up and tells a totally different story. Shady.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that happening. And it was Morgan whose boyfriend came in, right? It was kind of like giving her like bro, like friended, like it was a, that was a weird situation because I feel like they had no like issues toward one another. Like they seemed pretty like friendly and not angry or not like there's no hard feelings. I could see them dated for they've dated for like maybe a month and we're just like friends. And he was like, well, like if who cares about Bria? Like you don't know Bria. Like, you should pursue it with this guy. So like, and she was like, yeah, you're right. I should. So like that was also an odd situation.
Yeah. I mean, Morgan's ex, like they're close friends. It seems like they broke up a long time ago. Unclear really why they brought him on, except if they wanted to show like some healthy relationships. But the only thing I really have to say about him is I was watching with my New Orleans correspondent from last season, and he alerted me that this guy looks like a basketball player named Kelly Olynyk.
Olynyk, yeah, Olynyk, yeah, yeah.
It's incredible how much he looks like him. Like, I thought maybe it was him.
Yeah, except Kelly, I feel like this guy probably was, like, maybe 6 foot. Like, Kelly Olynyk's probably, like, 6'11". That's the only thing that's different.
All right, so that's really all there is to say about Morgan's ex, so we could wrap that, cross that off the list. Let's open door number two, ex number two. Samantha's ex, who she could never have imagined being there because he has a 9-to-5 job, which I love that implies that nobody else who could come here is working on the cast and the exes.
Would it be that far-fetched, would it though?
No, and it totally goes along with Samantha's whole shtick of like, I work at three different bars. I'm so driven. Nobody can crack me. My ex of 5 years has a 9-to-5, you know, like we're just really hardworking folks.
I know he's such a hero for working that 9-to-5.
But here we are, I guess, at 1:55 on a Thursday afternoon. So maybe we shouldn't really be talking about.
Very true. And I just want to say that if Samantha's ex was willing to join the cast, like right after this, I would 100% be down for it because he was like every Are You the One cast member, like in like douchey cockiness. In a matter of seconds from walking on ground in Hawaii. So I was so impressed with how much of a douche he was.
I mean, I think if he joined the cast, we would have trouble distinguishing between him and Daniel. So what I found very interesting about this episode is like some people like Samantha and Kenya clearly have a type when their ex comes in as like a carbon cutout of the guy they're with now. Like from profile, they look exactly the same, just smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the exes are just like a little bit tinier, and maybe that's why they weren't cast on the show.
Yeah, right. If you're like slightly normal sized, you're out.
Exactly. You have to be 6'4 and above. But I think that, okay, so Daniel kind of goes, she talks to him first, right? Samantha talks to her ex first. And I was into the other conversation with Daniel and the ex that I kind of forgot what the initial conversation was. She seemed like she was like, I just remember them hugging for a little while. Was there any like dialogue there where they just kind of like hugging and saying like, oh my God, you came, you work a 9-to-5.
Yeah, not really. Like she was clearly happy to see him. She's basically crying while she hugs him. And at first it kind of seems like it's going to be a real Kenya and Daryl. And then the tides turn, which I don't know how I feel about Daniel yet, but I thought this was one of his more likable moments when poor, like, he's just like a lovable oaf in this moment that he thinks that he's going to be able to have, like, the mature, like, can I get some advice, like, Bria kind of with Emily conversation. And obviously he's not here to give David, Daniel, what's your name again, advice. And oh Daniel's just God. Like... I don't appreciate you saying that you're going to clock me. That's rude. Like, it just kills me.
You know, it was, I think it was one of his best moments in the show, and I hope we see more of this Daniel. And it made me think that, like, he is a nice guy because he was so, like, kind of innocent in that situation where he was like, all right, like, I can talk to this guy and kind of see where this is going to go. And this douchebag who cheated on her with two of her friends is like, no, you're not going to, it's not going to work out. Like, just no. And then he said, I want to come in and clock you. And he obviously intentionally keeps calling him by the wrong name, which we've seen way too much this season. People calling people, they shouldn't be mixing up their names and they keep doing it. But I was super put off by this douchebag and I was definitely on Team Daniel and kind of hoped he would have clocked this guy.
He definitely read, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said like he could join the cast in the sense that he seems really opportunistic and fake to me. Like, yes. I think he's now here being like, I love Samantha, or like, I, you know, I'm mad you hooked up with another guy because he's on TV. And I don't know. I like do wish that we got a little bit more of a timeline of like how long people, long ago people broke up. So it seems like Samantha and her ex were like at least in communication, if not still hooking up like a week before she left for Are You the One?
Yeah. And so I looked it up because I forgot how old she was. She's 22. So I'm assuming they were just like high school sweethearts and just stayed together throughout college and her three bartending gigs. So I'm sure like it's still kind of, it's probably your first real relationship. It's probably very raw. But I think if she has any intelligence, I think she would kind of move past this 9-to-5 douchebag.
And she does, though, because, like, she goes full squad. Like, I know last week I changed my tune on Samantha. I went full in for Samantha. I'm still am. Because it's like she's totally triggered finally when his defense to being upset that she hooked up. Or I'm sorry. His defense with hooking up with her friends is that they were broken up, but they're broken up and he gave her permission, you know, or like knew she was on a dating show and he's pissed that she made out with a stranger that he has no relationship with. Like, get out. She quotes Twilight, but we're going to let her get a pass on that. Like, she gave him the business and he could take that back to his job.
Exactly. And I'm glad he, what he say at the end, like that he's kind of wants her to move, or she called him as her heroine. Was
that's
this the same
Twilight
couple?
Quote.
So, oh God, it was.
You're like my own personal brand of heroin.
Oh my God. I'm glad I didn't know that, because that would probably make, I feel like a lot of people, or the 8 people that watched, listen to this, judge me. So I didn't know that quote, just for the record. But I'm glad that she's not getting addicted to any more heroin anytime soon. In any sense of the word.
Speaking of addictions, let's bring in probably the most controversial ex of the episode, or at least relationship of the episode. Kenya's ex, Daryl, rolls up looking exactly like Tevin.
Yeah, he was in, but you got to give him credit because I don't know whether blonde, like single dreads, like those were, he went blonde with it. Tevin just had normal single dreads.
All right, so you like his hair color.
I'm not saying I like it. I mean, it's a bold choice, but would I rock it myself? Yes.
Okay, so Adam's going to get his hair done after this episode and then take a picture with Kareem, all for the podcast.
And Quasi. Quasi will be there as well.
Quasi will be there as well. Team pick. Yeah. Speaking of squad. So she immediately opens up with, like, basically, like, I love you, but I'm dating this guy, and like her arms all over him the entire episode. She's sitting on his lap, arms around him. If you're Tevin, like, how are you reacting to this?
I think it's worse than any her being close to any guy in the house, because this is an actual bond that was obviously real for at least some amount of time. I think this is probably the worst thing you could see. And like, she even said, she's like, I'm going to be straight up with him. I'm going to tell him that I'm with you. Like, but she was so awkward, like during that first encounter, like it was just super uncomfortable to watch. Cause like, she didn't know what to do. I think she was like, she was trying to please them both. It was just really uncomfortable.
And Kenya is someone who does not care, like literally could not care less. Like, because if she cared at all, she would be like sort of respecting both of their spaces. Like, okay, like I'm not going to be all over one guy in front of the other. Like, she does what she wants to do in the moment she does it, which is perfect for like, Are You the One? Not so great if you're like trying to date her. But my heart did break a little bit when Tevin is trying to like sort of throw shade while talking to Daryl by being like, oh, like, was it a problem for you too that she's always looking at other options? And they're both like, no, we were a perfect relationship. He never doubted me. I'm still in love with him to this day. And could you officiate our wedding?
It's the most bizarre thing. It's like, I don't know if she did it on purpose. I have a feeling he overplayed how good the relationship was. I think he was, because he doesn't want Tevin to have any shot trying to get with her after this. Like, he said, he even said, I'm going to tell him, like, the worst things. So I think he kind of over-exaggerated how good their relationship was. And I think she's just, I don't know if she's oblivious, like, to Tevin's feelings. It seems like she kind of was. But she just went along with it. I just have this weird feeling that it wasn't as good as they were saying.
Yeah, I mean, look at the facts. they were together. He left for some undetermined reason, got a job. I don't know how far the distance was,
a
whatever.
9 to 5.
He got a 9 to 5, more than 9 to 5 away. And and then he just dropped her. So, like, most people, like, try to make it work or will, like, move, ask her to move with him or whatever. Like, let's be real. He's only back in her life because she's on this dating show now. Like, you want what you can't have, or he wants to capitalize on the fame or whatever. He did not realize that he was still so in love with her until she's on a television show. So, like, it can't be that great. Like, you'd be making it work.
And that's why I got, because I feel like that goes with, like, real life, like, outside of the show. If someone wants to be with you, they'll be with you. Like, it's pretty cut and dry. I know there's obviously, like, kind of situations that could prevent certain relationships from working. But I feel like at the end of the day, if you really want to be with someone and they want to be with you, like, you'll be with each other. There's a reason all these exes are exes and they didn't work out for a reason. So I think that when they're all kind of like, oh my God, like, seeing you here or knowing you're here, or like, I just want to be with you, it's because they're on a show with a bunch of other good looking people and they know exactly what they're doing and they want, you think Daryl doesn't want her to kind of just chill by herself for the next X amount of weeks? Of course, that's what he wants her to do. Like, that's exactly what he's trying to get at by saying, like, I love you, I want to be with you, yada, yada, yada.
And what's so bizarre is, like, if you're in, I just totally forgot what I was going to say, so I'm going to move on. It's not bizarre at all. We're operating on like 2% brain power here. Gosh darn it.
It happens. It happens to the best podcasters, so, like, don't worry.
Do you think that it's possible that after everything Kenya's saying, no guy in the world compared to you, she's kissing him, she loves him like crazy, in person, like, Tevin's right here for this. Maybe he's not hearing everything, but, like, any fool can see this. Like, what happens next week? Like, I know we see Kenya pop off a bit, potentially, about the Jasmine thing, and we'll get to that. But is there reconciliation available for Tevin and Kenya?
I'm sure there is, like, and I have a feeling they're gonna try, but I don't, long term, like, after the show, there's no shot. But, like, I think that he could, because when the guy's gone, he's gone. So I think they could kind of out of sight, out of mind. And she seems like she's kind of, like, especially with the whole Lewis thing, I feel like she's in that kind of phase where she, or like a stage of her life where she might not be looking to settle down. And I could see her kind of saying, okay, well, Daryl's not here, so I'm going to have fun. And I could see Tevin saying, well, I really still like her, so why not? I just don't think there's any longevity in it.
I think the reconciliation definitely depends on what Tevin came on the show for. If Tevin came to just, like, hook up and leave and get famous and go on the challenge, whatever, Kenya's still a solid option. But if you want to leave with the relationship, which is probably what he wants, but if you have any interest in a relationship, and he did say he doesn't give 5th, 6th, 7th chances, like, it's ridiculous to be dating somebody who's in love with someone and who displayed that. At the same time, we've learned from when we, like, used to do interviews on the podcast with people, like, Zach Longo said this, like, it's overplayed by the viewers, like, how serious the relationships are. Like, apparently, it's really not that big of a deal for people on the show to, like, get told they're no match or be dating someone 1 week and then watch someone else date them the next week, that, like, the show and, like, our investment in it and just, like, our, we're real people, it feels like longer to us, whatever, makes that seem more dramatic. And clearly, like, Tevin has taken her back after other indiscretions, so maybe it's, like, actually not that big of a deal to him that she still has feelings for her ex.
And we've talked about, like, how Are You the One standards are different than, like, real life standards. Right. So when, like, somebody makes out with someone else on Are You the One, it's, like, not cheating because you're on a TV show trying to win $1 million dating a bunch of people. So I like, when people get back together on the show and they reconcile, it's not as crazy as, like, in real life, if someone would cheat and they get back together and everyone kind of has that little bit of judgment. Are You the One, like, relationships are a lot different. And I think you and I, for the most part, are able to see that it's not a real life thing. And I don't know. I if they get back together, like, I don't think, like I said, I don't think it's going to work long term, but I still think it could happen.
There's no subtle way to do this. Let's segue to probably one of the most disliked people on this season of Are You the One, I imagine, Kayla's ex.
What's his name? I can't say it.
She was calling him Ike a lot, but I don't really know any of the exes' names, so Kayla's ex is going to work.
22 is enough, right?
For sure. So basically, I was excited that Kayla's ex walked in because I'm like, okay, now we get to meet Kayla.
Yeah, we get to see more where she's from and like what's called. Cause has she talked about her ex prior to this episode? I feel like she's mentioned something.
Probably in some of the like opening stuff, like, oh, I was hurt before you or whatever. But I don't think we were able to appreciate until this episode that she was in like a verbally and emotionally abusive relationship. And she was really like, we always get told, oh, this person hurt me. But with Zach and with Kayla, obviously in different ways, we're able to like really see even non-verbally just the body language between the two of them. The emotion that comes instantly when they see them. Like, these people are really, really hurt by these exes.
No, she was... And this guy was such a douchebag, though. Like, he was... And, like, in a different way than Samantha's ex was. Like, this guy was clearly, like, trying to mess with her. And, like, everything he would say would have kind of, like, this underlying meaning or, like, this tone. And he was, like, throwing a dig. And he was clearly there for that reason and that reason alone. And it just kind of shows, I guess, what kind of person he was, and if he treats her like that on camera when he just steps on a show like for the first time, I can't imagine how he was off camera. And like, she said some of the things he called her like a 13-year-old boy, like disgusting, like just awful things.
Yeah, and he was just like, well, I took care of you and no one was there. And like, he starts saying to Cam like, I know her, you don't know her, I could go off, you know. It's like, it's just like when Kara from the challenge tweets that she has tea to spill at the reunion, you know, she really doesn't. Like when he's like, oh, I could tell you all these horrible things about her, but I'm not gonna. Like, if you had something to say, you'd defend yourself right now because you're coming across like a really horrific person.
Mm-hmm. And he keeps saying he dated her for a year. Does he think a year is a real long time? Like, I'm so confused. He keeps like, oh, I dated her for a year. Like, is that what he's implying?
That killed me, too, because at first he just said, I've known her for a year. And then he started saying, I've dated her for a year. And then I was like, if you've only known her for a year, dated her for less, like, get out of here.
Yeah, that's still the honeymoon phase. Like, you don't even, I feel like you don't even know someone till like, well, longer than a year, at least. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's a good start. But, like, a year is not the longest of times.
And then it escalated to some physical stuff. And then Tomas makes his entrance to the show by tackling him. And real hero move from Tomas.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's probably all the working out with the punching bag that got him to that point.
And then Cam and Kayla have a sweet moment, which is really just setting them up to be a match otherwise. I mean, I actually could see Kayla and Cam dating after the show. I could also see them being a no-match couple that, like, Ethan and Amber's it. I'm not saying they're going to get married and have two kids. I just, like, though, I could see them, like, trying to make the relationship work. Because I think this will be a really valuable moment for Kayla to get this sort of reassurance and love from Cam that she hasn't been able to get.
Yeah, Kayla says one of my favorite quotes. She said, you made me a better person, like, literally. I'm so happy that he made her literally a better person.
Meg Quinn says, I retain almost nothing from these shows, so I probably am forgetting a lot. But was Kayla's ex one of the ickiest guys we've ever seen? In the few minutes he was on, he managed to scare me all the way from my couch.
You know what? I'm just super happy with how this is going. Like, this whole episode at this point is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of ranking ickiness and Ari the One, hard to do. I do think that Kayla's ex is not someone who would be cast on the show. I think he's, like, a legitimately emotionally abusive, awful human based on what we saw on the show. And, I mean, the closest is what got Mike, an actual cast member, kicked off with Amanda for basically physical violence. But, yeah, there's been some cringy moments. This is certainly one of them.
And then Samantha's ex toppling over that, what was it, stool? Like, he toppled over something, which just keeps replaying in my head.
It escalated pretty quickly, and it was rather unpleasant.
But then it kind of, like, I think they went to commercial break when it showed the boyfriend charge, like, at them. But then it came back from commercial, and they were just kind of, like, talking. So, like, I guess, like, he kind of didn't let him ever get to the point of, like, getting in Cam's face or Kayla's face. But that's, I feel like it was kind of a weird, like, cut edit thing.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was hard. And I think, like, especially nowadays, like, TV shows err on the side of, like, not promoting violence by showing those kinds of things. So true. I think it's, like, an intentional cut. But also, like, Tomas de-escalated it. I think security probably jumped in and they just don't want to show all of that. And it just, like,
exactly.
Settled. Tyler, that makes sense. Tyler from last season tweeted, Cam is going to protect Kayla from her ex by building a wall. But
oh, that was, see, he's still so creative. And for, but when you said Cam, the first instinct I had was Cam from the challenge. And I was like, wow, like it's such a weird thing. Like, cause I was like, maybe cause the episode aired the night before. So that was my first like instinct, but yeah, he should, maybe, not build that wall.
So then we get a spicier scene for the Saucy season 7, the neon party, which looked like a lot of fun. Not so fun to watch from your couch. I could not see who anybody was in those shots.
I tried, like, I kept trying to, like, I also watched this at, like, 5 in the morning. So, like, I tried my best to, like, kind of make out figures and, like, but there were just bodies bumping and grinding and it was just, you just couldn't really pick up anything.
We do pick up is Jasmine and Tevin, pick up and they are hot and heavy from the jump looking for a boom boom room and end up in a shower scene, which I feel like has to be one of the more graphic hookups I've seen on television in a while. American television.
I watched with my brother and he was like, it seems like they just kind of said like, go in the shower, hook up, we'll film it. Cause it was so like personal and up close. Like they had to know, like there was like numerous high quality cameras on them and they were going in so many different senses of the word. Like it was absolutely gross.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Kenya is telling her ex Daryl that she's going to come back after the show and make all of this up to him. And they're getting together later. We're going to see in the next episode that Kenya is going to get mad about this. And you have zero, literally less than zero legs to stand on, if that's possible.
How is she going to make a promise to top someone off after the show, but then get upset that someone else got topped off during the show? It's very hypocritical. I think you should just kind of let like toppers do their thing and off others.
Mike Christensen says, whose ex was jockeying harder for their own shot in a future season or the challenge? Kayla's ex or Sam's?
I think it had to be Kayla's ex. I think Sam is, I feel like he's just a natural douchebag. And I think Kayla's ex was trying way too hard.
See, that's interesting. I'm going to take the opposite position. I think that Kayla's ex actually does want power over Kayla and came back to screw with her experience. Sam's ex to me seemed like opportunistic. So who knows?
I get it. Yeah, maybe they'll be on a rival season.
All right. So we have some tweets that I've pulled from the last week. But first, we got no 5-star reviews, and I'm really not convinced anyone's listening. We make jokes, but I'm not convinced anyone's listening to this podcast. So if you're out there, please let us know you're there. Tweet at us, or you can leave a review at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. But let us know you're listening to Are You the One? I'm going to say that every week until somebody tells me they're out there.
I feel like we've been maybe you've gotten more tweets in previous seasons because like it's like you're more you have the challenge podcast and you've been doing this way longer than I have, but I feel like I've been getting more tweets this season than any of the other seasons we've done.
It's now, not enough.
Maybe but we need more reviews, right? Because that's always good. But I still feel like we've gotten more tweets. I feel like now me and you are like top of the podcast charts.
All right. Well,
at least count five.
Put it out in the air. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it'll happen.
All right, so catching up with the Twitter drama, Bria tweeted some clarification on what happened with Morgan. Not a lot, but she said, just so we all know, Morgan straight disrespected me by lying to my face the same way she did to Nutsa. I told her to talk to Zach, own your shit, don't disrespect me and lie. So there's that.
Okay, well, that's the tea, I guess.
And then Samantha, she might be coming for us because she said, these tweets about my ex keep me alive. Cry emoji, laugh cry emoji, but then said immediately after, but real talk though, the only one that can talk bad about my ex is me. Yes, he's an ass, but let's be a little respectful. I put him through some horrible shit too.
Yeah, well, you didn't let us know that on the show. Like, you made it really clear that he cheated on, like, I feel like it's tough to say that when what you put out there was that he cheated on you numerous times with your friends, you know? Like, what are we to go off of? Like, what else could we go off of?
Kenya tweeted, Jasmine, I'm still waiting on my thank you for giving you Tevin for one night.
Oh, God.
And then she said, Kenya also said, wasn't able to watch tonight's episode due to an event, but I've seen a lot on Twitter, LOL. My ex was the love of my life for 3 years. You don't just get over that with someone you knew for 2 weeks, and only real women will feel that.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm a real woman then, because I feel it.
I do like that, though, that, like, you know, basically you say, if you don't agree with me, you're an idiot. Like, only smart people will agree with me.
It's true, because then only smart people will agree.
Only real women will agree. And then you're like, well,
only
shit.
Only real women with 9-to-5s will agree.
Some interaction from last season's cast. Alexis tweeted, I really just want to be real life friends with Kaylin. I think that might be Kayla's Twitter. And be real life girlfriends with Kenya. Can't wait to watch you bad bitches tonight. So excited I'm already drunk. And Kenya wrote, don't play with me, Alexis. I really want you in real life. So I'll ship that.
Yeah, let's go for it. Do you think there ever be a day where we could get in some beef with like one of the cast members that we talk shit about?
Oh, that's happened.
Well, I know you mentioned it, but could you go into detail? Because I'm really curious.
The best thing that happened, and like, I think one time, like, Jenny Natmiller's relative came for us, and then she like direct messaged us an apology or something. I don't know. No beef there. I know my favorite one is that we used to do cast reviews, which like maybe we should have done, which was always really fun because you'd have almost no information. We'd like go to LinkedIn to speculate about people. And Brian once said that Hannah Rathbun was like a yawn or something. And she just like tweeted, yawn that bitch. Like,
that's awesome.
No punctuation. So it was like, yawn that bitch. But I think she meant yawn that bitch.
Yeah, but that's awesome that she had no punctuation. That makes it so much better.
It was pretty great. But again, no problems with her either. And I forget, there might be more. But yeah.
We need to, something has to happen. Like, we have to, like, really, like, let's, like, I'll edit a soundbite, like, of, like, us just talking shit about, like, the Brett from last episode, and we'll just tweet it at him on, like, 40 different accounts.
Be careful what you wish for. It's not that fun. Like,
I just want it to happen once and then see how it feels. Because then, like, it's just, there's no, like, we just have that forever. It's like a plaque on the podcast wall, you know?
I am curious to know when, like, AfterBuzz started doing coverage, because I know, like, The Are You the One audience, or like cast members, are usually like hungriest to get be talked about, yeah. Like just like I would be, like, and so they used to like listen to the podcast. Sometimes they'd follow us back, then they'd start DMing us like, oh my god, you nailed it, or like, oh my god, they didn't show this, and would like just start telling us things because they like want to tell somebody their side of the story. And I think that was more of a time when we were like doing interviews and things like that, so we never sought out the drama. I'm not here to pick fights with anyone. And, yeah, you're welcome to do whatever you want, but I'm not trying to pick any fights.
I work from home. My life is super like boring. So like I need my fix of drama from the podcast.
All right. Well, here's some drama that you can get interested in between Kenya and Jasmine on Twitter. That was, last Sunday or last Saturday. This is not just a Wednesday to Thursday gig. I'm on the Twitter all week long waiting for this stuff. So Jasmine made a YouTube video, a two-part YouTube video. I watched the first part. I'm sorry, Jasmine. I do not recommend listening to this YouTube video. It gave, at least the first part, no additional information. It was just being like, thank you so much to MTV for my experience. It was amazing. And then also, like, they didn't air anything in the right order. I had talked to Kenya, like, as a woman, and I told her this, and we made up. And then I merely repeated to Terrence what I said to Kenya, and then Kenya blew up. And I was just like, I watched the show. I saw what happened, but whatever. So Kenya saw this video. I doubt she watched it, but she like saw it happen and said, Jazz Boo, you weird as hell for making a whole YouTube about me. LMAO. We only 4 episodes in and you that pressed already and you gonna sit and lie? Sigh emoji, laugh cry emoji. All good, Boo. We have a reunion and I have receipts. And not like Kara, if she says she has receipts and a reunion, I'm ready for Kenya to spill the tea at the reunion. Then she said, side note, are y'all not noticing that she's the only girl with no friends from the house? Oh. And she said, sorry. Something that she was down Nuts' throat at the premiere party because she was being friendly with Kenya, Brie, and Maria. Oh, she like, she went for Nutza at the premiere party because Nutza was being friends with the girl she's not friends with. Sounds pressed if you ask me. Monocle emoji, chin scratch emoji. Sis made a whole YouTube video about me, did her makeup and curled her hair just to sit there and lie to the camera.
Wow.
Then Jasmine said, meanwhile, none of them are tagging each other, but she said, y'all, I'm done with this Twitter quote fighting. That's so high school. This is why I'm barely on here. And I spoke up for the first time to speak my piece and move on. So good night. Oh, that was probably later. She also said, at the end of the day, y'all are entitled to your own opinions. You can talk about me all you want and I'll respect that, but I want to see the same respect when I speak my own opinions. Simple. All I'm here to do is tell my side of the story, shrug emoji. I made a YouTube answering fan questions and giving my opinions just like everyone else did on their social media outlets. Crucify if I didn't do it on Instagram like everyone else. This is Are You the One, not Are You My Best Friend. Whew.
Wow. Wow. What drama? And they didn't tag each other once throughout all those posts?
No. Also,
that's impressive.
Jasmine did reply to the Weird as Hell one by saying, you have been talking about me since before the season even started, on Twitter, on your Instagram story, saved in your highlights, and on live. So who's more pressed? This is my first time trying to address things. That was your mistake.
I can't even keep up with everything. Like, it just seems so ridiculous. But I guess for these people, it's like currency, right? If they could start fights and go at each other, it no matter what, it'll get people talking, and that's really what they want.
And by the way, I misattributed one of the tweets about going for jumping down Nuts' throat at the premiere party. That was from a fan. Because the fan also said, like, you're always talking about Kenya in the confessionals. And she said, all the interviews that were done were questions specifically about Kenya for me to answer. It's not the confessional where I choose what I want to talk about. And apparently Nutza and Jasmine were friends and are now not, because they had some stuff to say. So, a fan wrote, agree 100%. If Jasmine was so toxic, why did she stay? Meaning, why was Nutza friends with Jasmine? Obviously, Nutza likes getting fed and her bills paid, so she used Jazz up until it was beneficial. And Nutza said, sometimes you need to keep your effing mouth shut when you don't know what on earth you're talking about. Nobody fed me for free and nobody paid for my bills. Also, I didn't stay with Jasmine, hence why we aren't friends, LMAO. This is probably for the premiere party or whatever. And she said, the effing logic with some of you is unrealistic. Woo!
Wow, but what did she expect? The Twitter trolls to be realistic? Like, that's unrealistic.
And then Jasmine said, me and Nutza have our own issues from outside the house that have nothing to do with those girls, and it's no one's business as to what went on within our friendship when we lived together. Oh, I guess they live together. Sorry that I don't know this, guys.
That happened quick.
That is the last time I'll speak on that, because Nutza had nothing to do with this. And Nutza responded, thank God 3 different people recorded you screaming at me for being friendly with my cast members. I know you lie, but damn these iPhone cameras too now. Ooh.
Wow.
And someone said something about standing up for Nutza, and Jasmine said, stand up for what? I was trying to keep her out of this because I'm not trying to put her down or bash her. Our argument was based on things that happened when we lived together, and that's why I got into an argument with her. I don't argue with people I don't care about. And Nutza said, how we left our friendship was very understandable on both sides. I even said hi and gave you a hug the night before. You got so mad to see me being good with everybody because nobody is good with you. Have a good night, though. Heart emoji.
That passive aggressive heart emoji.
So woo, we will leave it with that, with Nutza's have a good night heart emoji. You can follow me at Last Tweets, and you can follow Adam
at Adam Bongo,
and we will be back next week covering week 5 of the madness. See you then.
Bye bye.